Last week we talked about the need to kind of look back on the past and to spend some time of reflection. And I will tell you, I don't care who you are. I don't care what age you are. I don't care what point in life you are. It's always beneficial and it's always good sometimes to kind of look back and reflect. To look back and see where you've come from, to see where you are today. And we talked about that at the close of 2018, and here we are on the first Sunday of 2019 with a whole brand new slate in front of us for the year. And I guess my question would be to you today is, how are you looking at 2019? I mean, how are you looking at this new year that's in front of you? You know, oftentimes to look forward is encouraged or strengthened by our looking in the past, by our looking back. When we see and we look at the faithfulness of God, and we've seen all of the places and all of the events and all the areas of our lives where we have seen God work, then when it comes to looking forward and looking into the future, now, albeit none of us can see into the future. If we could, then I don't know that many of us would be too happy if we could see into the future. Many of us might not want to see what the future could contain for us. And so we live in the present. We live in today. But one of the things that we do need to have is we need to look forward. We need to look forward with anticipation. And for the believer, what does that look like? I mean, how should we look at 2019? How should we look at the future in our lives? And let me just make this statement to you this morning. God is already there. We don't have to wonder whether or not God will be there when we get there. Let me tell you that He's already there. And one of the reasons is because God transcends time. There is no difference with God between past, present, and future because He's a part of all of it, because that's who God is. But as we look at the future, how are we to look at the future? I mean, what does that look like for the believer? Well, I think we can go to the Scripture to find the answer to that. Matter of fact, Peter wrote two letters, 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And I believe 2 Peter contains and holds for us the way we should look at this coming year, the way that we should look at tomorrow, the way that we should look at the year, should God tarry His coming, how do we make preparation for 2019? I want you to understand that Peter wrote this letter, specifically this second letter, to the false teachers that were prevalent during his day. And let me just make another statement. There is no shortage of that today either when it comes to false teachers or false teaching. But I want you to notice one of the things that Peter does. Peter encourages us that as a believer, here are some things that you need to add to your faith. And you wonder, well, how in the world can I add anything to my faith? Well, let me tell you something. Here's one of the things Peter does. Peter outlines for us those things that we should add to our faith. And now there's a couple of these that he talks about here that we also find as a result of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter number 5. And matter of fact, the fruit of the Spirit is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Galatia lays out for us. There are nine fruit of the Spirit that is listed there, beginning with love and going all the way through temperance and meekness and faith and all of those things. But I want you to notice one of the things that Peter encourages us to do as we come to this period and as we come to this point in our life for those who are believers. And one of the things that I want you to understand as we look at these, that because of your trusting in Jesus Christ, you've become a recipient of the divine nature of Christ. And then on top of that, we have these promises that come as a result of that relationship. So he says, in light of all of that, and the basis of all of that, here's something that you need to do. These are the things that you need to add to your faith. Beginning in verse number 5, I want you to notice as he lays them out. He said, and beside this, giving all diligence. Here's what he's saying. He says, for this very reason also, you need to try your hardest. In other words, there's some part of this that's your responsibility. God provides the means, but there's some activity that is required on our part. I hate to tell you this. This doesn't happen just by hoping that it's going to happen. You have to put feet to this. In other words, it has to be a part of your everyday life and who you are. And so here's what Peter says. He said, so for this very reason, he said, I want you to try your hardest. And here's what you need to add to your faith. He said, you need to add to your faith virtue. That word virtue there means goodness. And then he says, not only virtue or goodness, he says, to that goodness or to that virtue, he says, knowledge. And basically, that word knowledge means taking and applying this to our lives every day. Verse 6, he says, and so to this knowledge, you also need to add temperance or self-control. And then to this self-control is patience. That word patience there means perseverance. That means staying with it. It means sticking to it. It means trying your hardest every day to live according to our faith. In other words, to be what we need to be in the world that we live in. And then he says, and to that patience or that perseverance, he says, godliness. In other words, a reflection of the one who lives with inside of us. One of the things that God is doing for us and God is doing with us, Romans chapter 8 says we have been predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, to Jesus Christ. God is working in us through this process of growing us to look more like Christ. So when people look at us, they look past us. They don't just see us, but they see the very love of Jesus Christ Himself as it is seen in our own lives. Goodness, perseverance, knowledge, godliness. And then he says on top of all of that, verse number 7, and he says, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. And then to brotherly kindness, notice the last one is love. I'm going to tell you something. If there's something that is missing today, it's probably that last one. It's love. That word love. I'm going to tell you something. That's a tough one. That's a difficult one. How do you love your enemies like yourself? How do you love that one that persecutes you? How do you love that one that mocks you? How do you love that one that has absolutely nothing to do with you? How do you love that one who has done you wrong? How do you love that one that is unlovable? How do you do that? I'm going to tell you something. That's the tough part. That's the difficult part. But notice verse 8. Peter goes on to say, for if these things are in you and they abound, in other words, they're a part of your life every day, they're seen, they abound in you. They make you that you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But notice verse 9, here comes the negative. But he that lacks these things is blind, short-sighted, and cannot see afar off. In other words, it's difficult to look ahead because you're short-sighted. And the negative part of this in the end of verse number 9, and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Let me ask you a question. Do you live in the past of where God brought you from? Or do you live in the future looking ahead to what God has in store for you? It is one thing to understand the past, and it's one thing to reflect on the past. But my friend, listen to me. If we stay in the past and if we live in the past, then my soul, what can we expect to accomplish in the future? We learn from the past. We learn from those things in the past. But Peter doesn't stop here. You need to go to chapter number 2 because Peter now has harsh words for those who taught false doctrine. But he also had harsh words for those who follow after them. Look at chapter 2 beginning in verse number 1.
He says, but there were false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. And listen to me. There have been false teachers from way back, okay? Going all the way back. Matter of fact, there was a false one in the Garden of Eden who came to Eve, all right? We've had false teachers all around. And I hear people say this all the time. Well, the false teaching today has just gotten so out of hand that how in the world are we going to survive? Listen to me. God's still in control of this thing. And don't lose sight of that. We don't have to be defeated. Matter of fact, this morning as I was contemplating this service, I'm reminded of the days of Elisha. And Elisha's servant came to him early one morning. And he was in a state of despair because Elisha's servant looked around him and they were surrounded by the enemy. And listen to me, that's all he could see was the surrounding of the enemy of his day. That's all his servant could see. And Elijah went out, and here's what Elijah asked God to do. Elijah asked God if he would allow the servant to see something past just the enemy. And so when the servant looked the next time up, guess what he saw? Surrounding on the rim of the mountains around him, they saw the very army of God. My dear friend, listen to me. We need to understand that where we have been in the past and where we're going in the future, God's still in control of this thing. Don't ever lose sight of this. In 2019, it ought to be a great year for us. Why? Because we're interested and about serving the Father. And that's where we need to be. Don't let the false teachers disrupt what we're doing concerning the truth of the Scripture. The truth is still prevalent. But notice what he said in verse 1. He said, who will privately bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be even spoken of. Now look at verse number 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And guess what he does? He starts and goes all the way through Noah, through the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, even though he delivered Lot. And he goes all the way through this. And look at verse number 9. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh, in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. And he goes all the way through dealing with these false teachers and the harsh words that he has for those who follow after the false teaching itself. My dear friend, listen to me. If I can encourage you in 2019 to do this, study the Scripture. Study the Word of God. My dear friend, how do you do that? Where do you start studying the Scripture? Listen, I hear people say this all the time. Brother Robert, where do you get some of this stuff that you come up with out of Scripture? Let me tell you something. Every one of you who is a believer today has the same teacher that I have. And he's called the Holy Spirit of God. But here's what you have to do. You have to study it. You have to spend time in it. You have to take it apart. You have to dig in it. You have to look at it. You have to take it apart. You have to ask the Holy Spirit of God to teach me. Allow me to see the truth. Illuminate my heart and mind to the truth of the Word of God it contains. Listen to me. And not just for knowledge. But here's what it ought to do. It ought to change your life. It ought to change who you are. It ought to cause us to reflect and look on the inside and see where we are and see where areas of our own lives need to change. I'm going to tell you something. If you want to get closer to God, costly. It's costly. You have to seek after it. It takes diligence. It's hard. It's not an easy task. And let me tell you what. Many quit.
chapter 3 of the letter. Say, Brother Robert, you're going to go all the way through 2 Peter? Yes. You're going to get the whole thing on a whirlwind tour. But I wanted to get to chapter 3. Here's one of the things that Peter does. He says, to your faith, you need to add this. This needs to become a part of your life and who you are. You need to understand that there are precious promises that we have because of the divine nature of Jesus Christ. He said, and oh, beware, there's going to be false teachers and false prophets out there, but they've been around forever and will continue to be. But don't follow after their teaching. And the only way not to follow after their teaching is to get into the Word of God and study it for yourself and rely on the guidance and the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God to teach you the way that you ought to go. And then he said, on top of all of that, here's what he says in verse 14 of chapter 3. Wherefore, beloved, let me tell you who he's talking to here. He's talking to believers. He said, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things. And he's just went through and he's talking about when the Lord comes back and the heavens and the earth are destroyed and the new heaven and the new earth is created. He says in verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you looking for that? Are you looking for that day? I hope so. I am. I'm longing for that day. I'm looking for that day to come. Because I'm going to tell you something. What I have to look forward to in the future is far greater than anything that I've been saved out of. And I'm going to tell you something. This world doesn't have anything I want. My citizenship is not here. This is a temporary place for me. Our desire every day should be to affect things from an eternal perspective, not just a temporary perspective. He said, so, seeing that you look for such things, notice what Peter says. Be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. In other words, do everything you can. Work hard at it. That when that day comes, you'll stand before him the way that we should. You know, we talk about this all the time. Regrets. Let me tell you something. I've got some years of my life that I regret. I'll just be truthful with you. I regret them. Because they were very dark days in my life, and I regret those days. I regret those years. But let me tell you something. I don't have to live in them. And I will tell you why. Because God saved me from them. But let me tell you something. They're there for me is a constant reminder what I have in my relationship with Jesus Christ and where I used to be. Peter says, to live every day as if he's coming back. And then he said on top of that, he said, don't allow mockers to distract you from making preparation for the future. Look at verse 1 of 2 Peter. Notice what he says, this second epistle or this second letter, I now write to you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Go back to chapter 1 real quick and look with me at verse 12 and verse 13. Let me tell you something. I guess if you could look at this message today going into 2019, here's what it is. It's almost like this letter that Peter wrote. I'm here to listen. I want to stir up your remembrance today. I want to stir you up. Look at 2019 through a different set of eyes.
Notice what Peter said in chapter 1, verse 12 and verse 13. He says, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things." Everything that he had just wrote. What I'm going to share with you today is not stuff that you don't know. It's stuff we do know. We know that the only way that we're going to grow in our understanding of the Word of God is you have to study it. We know that. We've heard it for years. To add to your faith, goodness and knowledge and brotherly kindness and love. Listen, we know that. Peter said, "I know you know all of this." He said, "But I want to stir you up in this letter." He said, "I want to bring all of this to your remembrance." Look at verse 13. "Yes, and I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle." In other words, as long as I'm in this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. So chapter 3, verse 1. "I write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there will come in the last days scoffers walking with their own lust." In other words, during the last days, and saying, "Where's the promise of his coming?" You all have been talking about this for thousands of years. And I'm going to tell you something. I think what it's done to the church today, we've heard it for so long, we've just become numb to it. Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, we'll sing these songs. "What a day that will be. When he takes me by the hand, leads me through the promised land. What a day that will be." Yeah, we know the Lord's coming back. But let me ask you a question. But do we live like it? Do we serve like it? Folks, listen to me. He could come back next month. He could come back next week. What's to stop him from coming back today? Other than some things possibly in Scripture that yet is to be fulfilled. But do we live that way? Do we live like it? Go to verse 17 and verse 18. I want to move to the summary of the letter. The two imperatives in verse 17 and verse 18 summarize the way that we should live in light of all of this. Look at verse 17. He said, "You therefore, beloved..." Guess who he's writing to? To believers. Notice what he says. "Seeing you know these things." How many times is Peter going to say that in this letter? "Seeing you know these things." He said, "I'm not bringing anything back to your remembrance that you don't already know." Seeing that you know these things. That word "know" there is an interesting Greek word, because it is the Greek word prognosko, and it means to know already. These are things you already know. "Seeing that you know these things before." Notice the next word. He says, "Beware, lest you, as a believer, also being led away with the error of the wicked." I hear people say this all the time. "Not me, preacher. There's no way I'd ever be carried away." Be careful what you say. None of us in this auditorium is exempt. Be careful what you say. "Being led away with the error of the wicked," or the lawless, "fall from your own steadfastness." In other words, that Greek phrase, "your own steadfastness," means your fixed or safe position. verse 18. Here comes the next imperative. This is the second imperative in verse 18. But grow in what? Grace. Huh? Did you know most people stop right there? But grow in grace and in the knowledge of who? Of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But grow in grace and in the knowledge. I hate to tell you this, there's only one way you're going to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You got to be in the Word. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're in the Word and the Word begins to affect your life, you will not be the same. Because you can't be. See, we need to understand the seriousness and the urgency of the hour that we live in today. Because I'm going to tell you what, when you go back to chapter number 3 and you look in chapter number 3 and look at verse number 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but He's long-suffering toward us, not willing that what? Any should perish, but that all should come to what? Let me tell you all of this here. What we're looking at here in these verses. Speaks of the very salvation of God Himself. Look at verse 15. Of chapter 3. Look at verse 15 of chapter 3. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Let me tell you something. The greatest need for man today is salvation. What it is. If you want the outside to change, the change has to take place on the inside. If you want to see our communities change, it's got to take place on the inside in the heart. If you want to see lives change, it has to take place on the inside of the heart. Notice how Peter links all of this together from chapter 1 as you move all the way to the end of it in his summation in verse 18. He links all of it together. And here's what he said. I just want to remind you of some things. Number one, there's some things that you need to make sure is a part of your faith. You need to make sure that goodness is a part of your faith. You need to make sure that knowledge is a part of your faith. And when I say knowledge, I'm not talking about having this lofty air of knowledge that I contain all of this in my head of the knowledge of everything I can quote from here. But it's being able to take what is in here that you know up here and put it at your feet. Perseverance. Listen to me. I know it's tough. I know. How do you do this day in and day out? When the scoffers come, when all those who ridicule, all of those who scorn, all of those who pick at, all of those critics out there who criticize everything that takes place when it comes to the things of God, who criticizes the Word of God, who criticizes the very theology of God, who criticizes everything there is about God, day in and day out, hour after hour. How do you stick to it? How do you stay after it? Are you ready? Let me give you the answer. How many of y'all are ready for the answer? How many of y'all would raise your hand and say, "Preacher, we already know"? Here's the answer. You ready? Robert's Rules of Orders is called, we call for the question. Are you ready? Here it is. That's where you find it. Why do we look everywhere else for the answer when it's right here? Peter said, oh, by the way, not only goodness and knowledge and perseverance, he says, but brotherly kindness and love. Let me tell you something. What people need to hear today, let me just say this, okay? Love's words are cheap. They are. Do we love people? Do people matter to us? They should. You know, here's what amazes me, okay? We're real quick to write a check. We're real quick to give money. We're real quick to go across the ocean to do mission work. But we have a difficult time walking across the street to the very ones who you know are going to ridicule you for what you believe and just share with them a loving gesture. A loving gesture. And then chapter 2. He says, don't forget about the false prophets and the false teachers, because they're going to try to steer you away. And then chapter 3, he said, this is the way you should live every day. You should live in light of His coming. You should know that He's coming back. And I'm going to tell you something. If we live in light of His coming, knowing that He's going to return, then I'm going to tell you something. It would change the way we live every day. So how do you stay after it? Just realizing that God's in control of all of this thing and you're not. Verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. You see, this letter, I guess, has probably kind of been a wake-up call for me. As I have studied, as a matter of fact, I've taken this letter apart. As a matter of fact, if you looked at mine, you'd see just in the first chapter alone. I don't know if you can see that from back there, okay? But if you look in the first chapter alone, okay, that's where I've been. Let me tell you, the first question that came out of my mouth was, "How do my neighbors see me? How do they see me?" My next question was, how do you see me? Not that I'm concerned about whether you like me or not. I hope you do. I like you. And whether or not you love me or not, that's okay. I love you. It doesn't matter who you are. If you asked me and I had the ability to do, I would do. I hope this letter serves, or if you have never done this, go through and read all of the letter together. Take out all the chapter headings, all the verse headings, and remove them and just read it as one long letter. And I guess here's the reason that it should be a wake-up call for us. If I could encourage you with this, just don't let your guard down in the days ahead when it comes to the truth. Let me tell you something. Are you ready for this? And when you take a stand on the truth today, that is not the most popular place to be. But I'm going to tell you something. As your pastor, this does not change. Does it? So the future, how will you approach it? How will you look at the future? What about for us as Ascension Baptist Church? I'm going to tell you something. We're not anywhere close to being finished. Matter of fact, we're still in the throes of it. It's not time to quit. It's not time to sit back. It's not time to get comfortable. If anything, another year has ticked off. Another year is coming. The urgency of the hour that we live in gets greater as each day and month passes. kind of stir up. Stir the pot, so to speak. You know how? Stir that pot. The same God that Elisha called on to allow his servant to see is the same God that we serve today. Are we going to serve that way or not in 2019? Let's bow our heads together as we pray. Father, I thank you for Peter's letter. Father, it's a reminder to us, just as Peter wrote in that letter, just to stir up their remembrance, to remind them of things, to remind them of what they have in the precious promises of Jesus Christ. How we should live our lives every day and what should be reflected in them. So that we're not short-sighted. So that we don't allow ourselves to be blown about with every wind of doctrine. So that we're not caught up, as Peter said, in fables or wives' tales. Father, understanding that false prophets will always be around. But God will deal with that. God will take care of that. Just like it was in the days of Noah and with Sodom and Gomorrah, even the angels who fell did not escape the judgment of God. And oh, by the way, there'll be scoffers in the last days who will mock the return of Jesus Christ. Don't let that concern you. Because the heavens and the earth are going to melt away with fervent heat. But God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth. So as we look each day, as we anticipate His coming, may we be found without spot and blameless, serving hard at it, persevering, reading and studying the Word of God so that it will change us. God, may 2019 in our lives be a reflection of You, not of us. Father, may we press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ. To be found faithful. Father, I pray that we would surrender ourselves to the leading and the control of the Holy Spirit. Not trusting in our own abilities, but Father, trusting in Your enabling of us. And Father, as we come into 2019, as we have decisions to make, and we look with anticipation of what You will do, Father, may we be found obedient, beginning today, with what You've laid on our heart, with what You've called us to do. And Father, not for a rededicating, but just as a dedicating of the days ahead of 2019 to be different, to be unlike what they've been in the past. Father, I pray that You'd help us. May we find our strength and our encouragement through your word. Father, we thank you for your love for us, and for the Lord Jesus Christ, and for the Holy Spirit, and for your word that you've given to us as we embark on this journey every day. And Father, at the end of it, as Peter said, may we glory in Jesus Christ, who is worthy to receive glory and honor in all that we do. We ask all of this in Jesus' precious and holy name and for his sake.